right, everyone, welcome to our retaping because even by the standards of an amateur podcast, I did terribly at our last recording, and so we're redoing it. I am this is Deadpool It Yourself. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Senseless Apprentice, and with me is my co-host, Mr. Verano.
How's it going? So our taping was kind of great until Senseless almost gave out my real identity.
No,
So
that was close to the end, and it was not great before that either.
yeah, but majorly I think that was the reason why we're like, yeah, hell no.
That was the straw for me. I was bad for the rest of it, and then I did that, and then I was like, ah. After we got off, I was like, nah, let's re-record. Even by the standards of an amateur podcast, this was shit.
Yeah, and we had two different topics, and we kind of cut one of them because it just wasn't exactly right. So, to start this episode, essentially, we're going to talk, at least from my view, the new Matrix stuff.
Yeah, you didn't like it. I have a different recollection, but you didn't like it.
I really didn't find anything new to it. It was just like a straight up repeat. And there wasn't
But that was
anything really amazing about it.
it, but that's kind of like that's exactly the point. That's the point that they made in the movie. Like they kept And I know, like the meta commentary isn't always the best for everybody, and I know also we're just jumping into this time. We're not, it's not one of our narrative episodes, so we're just kind of jumping into our topics. First one being the Matrix, and really, I know the meta commentary is not for everybody, but that was the whole movie was talking about how, oh yeah, we need to do something fresh with this installment of something we thought we ended as a concrete story. You know, like they literally almost flat out said in the movie, they're making us do this, and they pretty much said they'd do it without us if we declined, you know. And so some people stuck around just to make sure it was going the right direction. I honestly loved it for how much it called out the process, and then also, you know, the whole point of the movie, like the whole point of the analyst, the whole point he makes is kind of too accurate for today. He says, you know, people don't give a shit about truth. They want to tune into what makes them feel good. And if it makes them feel good and feel smart, then that's all that matters. And it was just like, I found it to be very, very insightful, but I'm like one of a very small minority. Most people I've heard of agree with you.
Yeah, no, I mean, like to me, I guess I get that part now more, but it just still wasn't, I don't know, there was nothing that really stuck out to me in that damn movie. I was like, all right, cool, they're meeting back together. I like that they did reference a lot of the first movie. I thought it was cool, but I was like, I don't know, just nothing that was new. Even the villain wasn't exactly the greatest. He didn't stick out as being a great villain, just I don't know, very haphazard. Unfortunately, like a WWE villain that you just don't give a crap anymore for. They're not that bad. They're like in between.
Yeah,
And
that's oh man, that's another stick. Like the villain is it I see, yeah, but that's the difference. I went back when I watched this new one, The Resurrections, and watched the other three all over again. And the thing about the villain is like he's basically a yuppie up and comer from a like 80s business movie is the way he sounds. He's just like some random program that found a way to improve on what the analyst or what the architect did. And but the thing is that like even within what he's built, there's certain hints along the way, like even towards the end where you find out that, you know, Neo and Trinity now have a mixture of the powers, but it's because from the beginning it wasn't just one of them, it was both of them in the program. And she in the and that was like the Holy Spirit activating the messianic figure that was Neo, but still she had a part in it. And so when he recreated the energy through them, like he kind of blended the two together in the Matrix. They now have a pastiche of Neo's powers because they're a mix, but so were so many other things. You know, the Agent Smith that they have is a mix because with the Morpheus that they have, and you know, it's just it's kind of all foreshadowing and plays together. And I liked it, but everyone else hated it, so whatever.
Yeah, no, I was with them. Like I said, they even in I think there was a report like they lost $100 million on that movie. I was like, yeah, it just did not appeal at all.
No, but those reports are still based on what we were talking about earlier this year. You know, like if they gave a fuck about making the money that like the industry expects them to make about these movies, they wouldn't be releasing them immediately on their streaming platforms for people to like watch on their big screens in the comfort of their own home. Like they still don't give a shit about those box office returns that are the standard that people are expecting, because the theater industry is still suffering right now.
What theater industry?
Right. Marvel movies are still doing good, but that's because they plug them and play them up so much, and it's kind of an exclusivity thing. But everywhere else, it's still suffering.
Yeah. For good reason.
You know, people want... It's just how it is. I don't know what else to say. I'm trying to come up with words, but that's just what it is. So, all right. So... Before we go on to my next diatribe, because I did mention I wanted to, I did go back through and watch all the Matrix movies, so I had a theory that I wanted to run by you, Verano. But before we do that, what grade would you give? Like, if you and you know us, we just go by standard school grades that you would know, because everybody understands A, B, C, D, F. So, what grade would you give The Matrix Resurrections?
Oh, we're not going with OGUNS? Like, oh, I was thinking way back. Oh, okay, shit. Well, I would have given an S, just satisfactory. So for those who don't remember, that's a C.
And I would have given it a solid B. It's not an A. It's not, you know, that 100%. Oh, it's the most excellent movie you should see. But for everything that people are trying to take the piss out of it for, that's exactly the shit that they were making fun of in the movie, too. So when people are like, oh, it's unoriginal, it's like, yeah, they were saying it. The whole point of when they're sitting there making fun of a bunch of suits going, we need to come up with a new fresh thing out of something that is number four. You know, like... It's not an A, but it's I give it a solid B because it's fun. I had fun with those kind of things, and then also like it's not a shit movie. It's just the fourth in a series that didn't really expect a fourth.
Yeah,
and as such, it's good for what it is. But you know,
it was very unexpected. I was like, what? Why? I mean, I thought you want to end with the trilogy for sure. That looked decent.
Yeah, don't go in expecting cinematic excellence, but if you don't go in expecting cinematic excellence, you could have fun watching this movie.
Yeah.
So the theory I wanted to run by you, because everything I've looked at when I was looking at things about the Matrix movies, going back through them, because watching Resurrections rekindled my interest in movies that came out when I graduated high school. Like, I remember... Actually, when what was it? Shit, the second one was Reloaded. I remember when Reloaded came out, because it was the week before, like it was right around. It was no, because I worked at the movie theater, so I saw the movies almost immediately when they came out, and so it was the week I graduated from high school, and when we were doing graduation, we would have. The like graduation practice where we went to the auditorium and got called up to the stage in order, and they were like, "Your parents are gonna be here. Don't fuck this up," and all those kind of things. And then, you know, when we were done with graduation practice, we did that for like 3 days, and then we were supposed to graduate on Thursday or something like that. And, so when we were done, we could leave school. We were done. We'd taken our finals and everything like that. You know, the juniors on down still had to go to school, and we laughed at them, but then we left and did our own thing. And I remember going to see Reloaded just in the afternoon after not really being in school. With a friend of mine. So, you know, it's just nostalgia and shit like that. But, you know, so this movie brought me back to all that kind of stuff. And so I watched the movies all over again. And I still think that even though I've read supports this, I still think this theory holds up. I think the Merovingian is a previous Neo. What do you think?
Wait, one more time?
You know the Merovingian, right? The character they have to go to. He kind of likes to manage all the exiled programs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
So, and in Resurrections, he shows up as like a crazy guy who, you know, he's the one who talks French a lot. But,
okay.
Yeah, so in the original trilogy and even now, I thought the Merovingian is like a previous Neo. So the mythology here is Neo is the collection of all the doubts that people had about the program. So when people would have doubts, it would get, you know, erased from their mind and shunted off, and Neo is the collection of all those doubts. That's why he has those powers in the Matrix, is that like he's basically people's understanding that this is all wrong and shouldn't be, all collected into one being. That's what makes him powerful. Different in this in the movies is that they've gone through at least like 7 cycles, which could be like, even though Morpheus predicts a year, most estimates are like that's wrong, because, you know, if they've gone through 7 cycles, it took enough time for them to build up enough doubt to have a Neo, and then that Neo went through and, you know, was the cycle. But it also meant that what the architect explained to him was you pick 13 individuals and they repopulate, you know, and so we've done this more than once. So like, you know, Zion is even planned that way. And then his love for Trinity overrides the love for humanity, and he goes to save Trinity. And that's what's different about this Matrix, is he acted selfishly and saved the woman he loved over the entire population. And so that put everyone at danger. And that's why in Revolutions, it was the prospect of complete annihilation until Neo made a deal. But what I think is the Merovingian is one of the previous Neos, one of the previous Neos who, you know, was fine with walking through that source door, because what it said was, you know, then he would help pick the, like, basically be redistributed into the Matrix, and you know, he brings in the code that resets and causes everything to go smoothly. So for the Merovingian, he's just a Neo who is also an exile, because he did what he was supposed to, but then he picked himself to survive. And so, and, you know, Persephone was his Trinity. You know, is that the Merovingian's a previous Neo who did everything as the architect planned it. And, but just made sure to, like, his love was for himself. And so loving himself meant that he saved himself when he went through, and he saved the woman he loved, but he only really cared for her as an extension of himself, unlike Neo, whose love for Trinity like overrides his concern for the rest of humanity and causes the movie storyline that we see. So that's what I wanted to run by you. What do you think? Could the Merovingian be a previous Neo?
I mean, when you explain it into that manner, possibly so. I never really thought that deep into it, but then again, that's really your forte more onto that.
So in other words, when you think about these things for as long and pointlessly as I do, then maybe it makes sense.
I'm assuming this is how you're able to eventually go to sleep. Dude, you just kind of go through this process. You're like, I'm going to run this on the show. Let's see what we got.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I think that does make sense. And yeah, you definitely could have. Makes you think more about it. Makes me think if I'm stuck in the Matrix myself.
I mean, but that's the cool thing about the Matrix is it's all based in different philosophies. Like there are, you know, definitely philosophers who have theorized: are we perceiving things as they are, or are we brains in bottles just perceiving a reality that makes us comfortable?
Yeah,
you know?
I think so. Could be.
So, all right. So those were our Matrix themed topics. We also wanted to get into what was the, you know, MCU television extravaganza of last season. Hawkeye.
Which was great. I actually liked it. Being able to also, I mean, if you haven't watched it by now, you should have. So too bad if we give a spoiler. But watching it by now, it was also great to have Kingpin introduced. And as the Daredevil's Kingpin was awesome.
Yeah, well, Vincent D'Onofrio is just a great actor.
Yeah, he is.
You know, and he did play a really good Kingpin. And honestly, even though, so just going into the Netflix Marvel shows were great. I think people are expecting way more than they're ever going to get out of from Jon Bernthal. I think what I think will happen. Okay, so the Netflix Marvel characters have started to show up in things. I think we could see Mike Coulter back as Luke Cage, most definitely, and I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I don't see who else would really play him. Like, he's been great.
It's possible we'll see a Jessica Jones cameo, but I don't know if that was.
I don't know if anybody
would give too much of a shit. No one gives a shit about the comic book character. She was big for like one part of the early aughts, and that was because she was connected to Luke Cage, and then, you know, no one gave a shit again.
Yeah, no, like her season one was interesting. I think season two was a great spike. And then season three by herself again was like, man. Even though I was like watching, I was like, yeah, it ain't bad, but it ain't great.
Now, what I was saying about Jon Bernthal is, you know, the parent company's Disney, and Disney barely likes. Disney doesn't even. I think we're all going to be waiting on a Deadpool 3 that never comes. I think they signed Ryan Reynolds to a contract, and now they're putting him on a bunch of movies that aren't Deadpool so that they don't have to make a Deadpool movie, you know, Free Guy and all that. So I think we're waiting on a Deadpool movie that's never going to come. Disney does not like the hard R rating. They want the family crowds. So, like, when it comes to, I think in some event we might see a cameo from Jon Bernthal just kind of showing up and being like, oh, Punisher's here. But I doubt it would be more than a cameo, to be honest. I don't think Disney's going to go hard R in a lot of in much anytime soon.
But even so, yeah, it's true. Hawkeye, I thought, was great. That's not. I know we already did divert our attention from it, but. with Jeremy Renner, and I think it was good. It kind of is like the passing of the torch, but not fully. So I'm hoping that there's a definitely season two, and that it kind of shows hopefully more of the evolution of whatever the girl's name was. I forgot something. Blake. God damn it.
Kate Bishop.
Kate Bishop. I wasn't even close.
But. And so here's the thing. I think if there is a season two, Clint goes away, and it's Clint, it's Kate without Clint. It's great establishing yourself. That's if there's a season two. But honestly, I think they're building more towards. I think they're going to. They're trying to build separate teams that will converge in a massive event. So I think we've got the underpinnings of a Thunderbolts in whatever Contessa's doing. You know, she's already got her Black Widow, U.S. agent, and Ghost. So who else is she going to grab? I think we've got a new Avengers team forming with Doctor Strange, new Cap, and I think Winter Soldier fits the Black Widow role pretty well. And other people building around that. I think She-Hulk will be there and stuff like that. And with Kate Bishop, I think it's highly likely she shows up with a bunch of young Avengers in different things. We've seen Eli Bradley or Patriot. We've seen Cassie Lang, Stature. We've seen Billy and Tommy, Wiccan and Speed. We've seen Kate Bishop, and we also got America Chavez showing up. We got Miss Marvel showing up. We got a lot of the young Avengers showing up, so or at least people connected to the young Avengers. I think it'd be cool if they somehow managed to find a Miles Morales.
Yeah, I think so, but I think they will do it too. I'm really hoping they do, just kind of like show more of her transformation maybe, and yeah, or he's out and her starting to, if we're going in your direction of her starting to set up a young Avengers.
Yep.
Oh.
Did you know what this, definitively shuts out though, which is kind of odd and awkward since it was started out of the first Avengers movie?
What?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah, I never watched it.
No, but, okay, so Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they had Adrienne Padalecki as Bobby Morse, a.k.a. Mockingbird.
Oh.
And so in this movie, this show, one of the things that they kept going after, like, people thought he kept talking about the Ronin suit, and it wasn't the Ronin suit. It was something connected to Linda...
All right,
people. Sorry about the little skip, jump, and fuck up. But, my piece of shit phone died in the middle of a conversation. And, like the late, great Bill O'Reilly, who's not really late, once said, fuck it, we're doing it live. So, here we are. We're still going. I was saying that Linda Cardellini's character they just revealed her to be Bobby Morse, to be Agent 13, to be Mockingbird, which means the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mockingbird no longer applies.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is odd because the Avengers all started because of Agent Coulson, the guy from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, yeah, he was hysterical.
I mean, he was there from the beginning. He was there in Iron Man.
Yeah, how he's dead. Well, that's no surprise, but he was supposed to be dead in the movies anyway.
No, they resurrected him right afterward. It was the subject of like the first two seasons. I watched all of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but
I haven't watched any one episode.
But anyway, we were talking about Hawkeye, really, and Hawkeye really was really good. It's Kate Bishop starting up and Clint Barton slowing down. I don't think
retiring.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fading away and retiring, which is good. Like, it's kind of what he wanted. So that's why, like, this season with the Ronin costume, like, he wanted to be done, get his past behind him.
Yep. He's clearly wanted to be with his kids. And so I think he's finally going to get the time to be with his kids. I think we'll probably get, if we get a second season, we'll get a second season of Kate without Clint. The other thing that I think they're going to spin off on this, or at least they heavily hinted they're going to spin off of this, is probably some backstory into Agent 13, into the woman who marries Clint Barton. That he wants to spend so much time with, which I don't think they'll, if he wants to spend time with his family, it's not like they're going to rip the family apart. I think it'll be explaining where that fucking watch came from.
Yeah. And then that'll be good. So. Yeah. I'm intrigued too. I was like, ooh. So I'm intrigued to know more about the watch as well.
Yeah. What grade would you give it? What grade would you give Hawkeye?
I give it a solid B+. Like, I think there was, I don't think there was much missed, but I was hoping for a bit more episodes. So it's kind of the only thing I have against it.
See, that's where you and I differ. I'd give this, much like The Matrix, a solid B.
Dang.
I thought it was good. I thought it was fun to watch. I thought it was, you know, standard. So I didn't think it was anything above or below what, you know, Marvel Disney has done before, but also it was just, it was, you know, the same as what they're doing. It was another installment that we're really just watching to see how it affects the bigger picture, because after Thanos, we're all just looking for what's the big thing coming next, and they're playing that card close to their vest, so we're all scrambling for hints, and that's kind of where these movies fall in line, is like, and these shows, it's less about what the main story is, and it's more about how does this story fit into the overall structure, and who's going to be the first to crack what that structure is actually leading to, you know. So in terms of what I thought of, in terms of like grade, I gave it a solid B. You know, it's fun to watch. You will enjoy it. If you go in without expectation, if you ignore everything I said, which you totally should, you'll enjoy the hell out of this show. But there's lots of shows you'll enjoy the hell out of, so it's nothing special.
Possibly. But no, it is a good show, and I mean, you can easily binge it through it.
That's true. That's very true.
I wish I was doing for a Book of Boba Fett, but like everybody else, I'm watching it one piece at a time, and it is good. I've liked
it. Not like everybody else. I learned my lesson with WandaVision. When I watched WandaVision, I was, it's the same thing I'm saying here. Solid show, good show, well made. And yet, I spent so much time hyping up a story in my head that when the show ended and it wasn't the story that was in my head, I was disappointed. And I realized it was by no fault of anybody who made that show, because it was a great show. So that's what I do for all these. Is I did it with Hawkeye. I waited until they were all out, and then I binged the hell out of it. But I can't watch all or one at a time.
I know, I'm trying not to, but they have me intrigued every time.
That's exactly it. They'll have me intrigued, and then I'll sit there and speculate. And then when it doesn't turn out to be the speculation that had, because, you know, I have a fanciful imagination just like anyone else. You know, we all have some sort of imagination that we like to turn to, and but it's our preferred imagination. So like, it was all the things that I wanted to have happen, and when all the things I wanted to have happen didn't happen, I was like, ah, screw them. That's not fair. They made a good thing for me to watch, so I give it the patience.
All right, and on to our last topic, which is I'm just remembering now, because I was like, we're probably gonna go in circles about it.
Yeah, we probably would. So we actually are switching things up now. One thing we realized that we like to do, you know, we're going through, we're learning our process with the podcast, and one thing that we really enjoyed is this ability to talk about these things and give you our opinions, and hopefully these opinions help you want to engage with certain properties, or even avoid certain properties if they're kind of, you know, uniquely shitty. If both of us think of that they're bad, they're probably really bad, because we like some pretty shitty stuff. So if we don't like it, it's probably really, really awful. But we also figured we'd branch out into other products. And so one of the things that we just tried out was a comic book themed game. Disney has a franchise game that they call Villainous. And so they came out with a Marvel themed Villainous, where you get to play as one of a select set of Marvel villains in trying to get your evil plans accomplished before everyone else. And so we tried that out, and it was a lot of damn fun.
After an hour of trying to figure out what the hell we were trying to do.
Yeah, but that's to be expected.
For dear listener, yeah, it took us a while. And it's just funny because on the box, or not in the box, in the instructions, like, oh yeah, within 20 minutes of playing, you'll be done. It's like, the hell, we were there for 2 hours. An hour figuring it out, and another hour finally, like, doing something. It was cool. We had villains were Killmonger, Ultron, Thanos, Taskmaster. Was it Sportsmaster?
No, Sportsmaster's DC.
Oh shit, I'm mixing this two up.
I think you're missing. I think you're only missing one, actually.
Hella.
Yes, and Hella. I wasn't gonna help you. I was just gonna mention you're missing one.
Yeah, no, there was Taskmaster. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, Taskmaster was there, not Sportsmaster.
Yeah, that's right. I mixed them up. I was like, ah, that's right. That's right. I knew something master. I was Ultron and I won. So that's what really matters.
You pretend you knew what you were doing. You figured it out in the last few minutes and got lucky that you were able to do it in three moves, what I was gonna block in four.
Yep. I was like, oh shit, he's a move away, two stones. I got this. Done. Ultron plan in.
No, I was actually, I had so many things in place to actually block you from, like, my next move was to block you from doing anything on any of your pieces, and it was just like, oh damn it. It was like playing chess and having mate in two moves, but you had mate in one, and I was fucked.
Yep. So.
So let's talk about the visuals in this game.
I thought they were great. I love the artwork for each one. It really presented you how each phase of the plan for them was supposed to go.
And each player, like, so your villains, you're not playing the same game board, because you're each playing your own game. You're each playing your own system. So each villain has their own unique game board that they play on, that they move through, that you have your own unique piece that is, I mean, they're pretty badass. They have really good design to them. And then, but you're playing your own unique game board. So it has all unique art and imagery, and it's really well done. Really beautiful in a dark, sinister sort of way.
Yes, it is. No, the visuals for your, like you said, independent boards is great. Cards for each of the characters that kind of help them to achieve their goal. They were really nicely done. The explanations, I think, took a time, but the explanations on the card I thought were great.
And
very
and
simple.
You really did. Sorry, I was interrupting.
No, I was going to say they're very easy, fairly easy to follow. Instructions on the cards.
Yeah. And really the instructions for the game, it took, like, you know, we joke, it took us a minute to figure it out, but it takes you a minute to figure out any game. And once we figured it out, it was a lot of fun to go through and play and sort of be rivals to each other. We both want to play again, just with more people now. So, you know, that's the mark of a good game. It left us wanting more, but, you know, the night we played, it was pretty late. We had to we had other things to do the next day. We could not stay up to like 3 o'clock in the morning trying to play another round of this board game.
Yeah, we were done by like midnight. Yeah, I had work, you had work, so it was not easy.
Yeah, but it was lots of fun, and we will definitely be checking that, playing that game again. As you mentioned, you were Ultron, I was Thanos, and that's the thing is, we mentioned you have your own unique goal. As Ultron, your goal was what? You were trying to do what?
Set up the Age of Ultron. So I had like a 4-card step system to achieve to it, and they weren't easy.
And then for me, I was Thanos. My goal was to get the Infinity Stones, you know, and I got quite a few of them. And the cool thing about getting them was every time I got a new Infinity Stone, I got a new power. So like over time, you and I are playing and it's like, oh yeah, you can do this. I can do this, 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 and this because I have these stones. And you know, that part was fun.
Yeah, you kept really jumping over you, like, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Block me here, block me there, but I set up my little pawns where I needed them.
Yeah, well, we'll play again with more people.
Yeah, what would you say would be, like, how enjoyable was it for you as a game? Minus the fact that, you know, it was our first time.
As a game, no, it was something I could see myself sitting down and doing a couple of times. You know, there are other games we played, like Hail Hydra, where we played it a couple of times, and then...
I'm down for that game.
I'm down for it again, but it's hard to find more than just more than just a few, like a couple of people at a time. Like, but I'm down to play it again. But Villainous, I would say, is one of those ones where it's going to be easier to convince people to play it. You know, I think Hal Hydra has a little bit of a psychological bit to it that makes some people uncomfortable.
I guess. I thought that game was fun. But yeah, you need a solid 4.
Yeah. And no, and then this game it's a lot of fun. It's a very individualistic game, but you're an individual playing amongst people, and you know, it's all friendly rivalry. It's just a good time. What grade would you give this game?
That's originally what I just asked you like 3 minutes ago.
But you didn't ask me specifically for the grade.
I did. I said, what would you grade this?
Damn it. Okay, so I, as far as games go, I would give it an A-. It's got a little bit of difficulty to overcome in understanding it. And really, you and I played... there is a quote-unquote easy version that they've set up for first few time players, and so we really haven't actually played the full game. So knowing that, I'd probably knock it down a little bit, but it was really enjoyable. So I'd say probably A-.
I'd give it a B+. I agree with it, and the visuals were like fairly all right. Like I said, I like the visuals, but at the same time, like, yeah, they, I don't know. The visuals were great, but I guess we didn't see the whole game. We didn't see all the boards.
Yeah.
So I think to me, that's why I'm not giving it full, because like you said, we didn't play the whole thing.
Right. But
for how it was, and yeah, the explanations originally were hard, but in the cards, at least it made it a little easier,
right,
to kind of know where we're gonna go with it. But it was a fun game. The more we went about a finish, I was like, yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, it was a good time. All right, so we are a listener supported podcast, which means we don't get paid shit to do this, but we still have fun doing it anyway. We would love it if you would reach out and either try to talk to us, or even, you know, just spread us around to your friends and loved ones. particularly, you know, if you like us, you know, tell people you like to listen to us. If you don't like us, first off, why the hell did you listen this far? But second of all, tell the people you don't like to listen to us. You know, if you hate us that much, spread us around to them, and maybe they'll listen to us and we'll get listeners. But yeah, we're just trying to build our base, and you guys are our base, and we appreciate the hell out of each and every one of you. And someday maybe this will be profitable too. But until then, good night, y'all.
Yep.